Who's that, you suppose? Mike asked. Some fisherman, looks like, Bert observed from the driver's seat. He'd kept Henry's 8th well clear of the white cabin cruiser. There was a big night ahead. Xantha wouldn't be much help. Not a bad girl, just badly spaced out. Maybe they'd give her a nice taste of real good stuff before they broke out the netting and the cement blocks. They were sitting right in the open, on the deck, and she didn't have a clue what they were for. Well, that wasn't his lookout. Looky, looky, Kelly breathed. Billy had told him all he needed to know. Henry had a lab in the ship graveyard, and Kelly watched them turn in at the red lighted buoy. Kelly marked his chart, then settled back. 12 hours at least. That should be plenty of time. Kelly's camouflage dinghy went into the water after midnight and moved slowly in the maze of derelict ships, listening carefully. He navigated the trackless marshes until he heard a voice. He cut his small electric motor and listened. There, a light. They'd been clever in selecting this place, he thought, ignored even by local fishermen. Kelly crept up to the rusting ship, tied his boat to the nearest cleat. Kelly took a deep breath, took hold of the rope ladder, and started climbing. Another batch done. Phil was a little faster than the others. He lifted out another 1 kilo bag from the cooler. He smelled it, as he had the others. Foul, chemical smell, like the chemicals used in the biology lab at his high school. Formaldehyde, something like that. Hello. There'd been no warning at all. Suddenly there was someone there at the door, holding a pistol. He was dressed in striped fatigues, and his face was painted green and black. He pointed, on the deck, face down, hands at the back of the neck. You first, he said to the one at the mixing bowl. Who the hell are you? The black one asked. You must be Bert. Don't do anything dumb. How you know my name? Bert demanded as Phil took his place on the deck. Kelly pointed the second man, directing him next to his friend. I know lots of things, Kelly said, moving towards Bert now. Then he saw the sleeping girl in the corner. Who's she? Look, asshole! The 45 went level with Bert's face. What was that? Kelly asked in a conversational voice. Down on the deck, now. Bert complied at once. He searched them, found 2 small handguns and a small knife. Hey, who are you? Maybe we can talk, Bert said. We're going to do that. Tell me about the drugs, Kelly said. Kelly had it all now. Well, he had enough, he told himself. A mind full of useful data. And for the first time, he'd hurt the bastards. 2-3 weeks of their product. That would shake things loose. He might have collected it all and used it as bait. But no, he wouldn't have it around him, especially now that he suspected he knew how it might come in. It was Asian heroin, and the bags it arrived in on the East Coast smelled of death. How many things from Asia that smelled of death came to the United States? Kelly could think of only one. And the fact that he'd known men whose bodies had been processed at Pope Air Force Base only fueled his anger and his determination to see this one thing through. Trooper First Class Ben Freeland was on his regular patrol and was intrigued by the woman he saw walking unevenly ahead of him. She was walking in zigzags, and that meant intoxication. He pulled over and got out, carefully. Hello, he said pleasantly. Where are you heading, ma'am? She stopped, looking at him with eyes that belonged to another planet.
Who are you?
The trooper leaned in close. There was no alcohol in her breath. Drugs were not much of a problem here yet, Freeland knew, but that may just have changed. What's your name? He asked in a more commanding tone.
Xantha, with an X, she answered, smiling. He didn't know I had more, she said, thinking it was quite a joke.
What's that now?
My pills. Keep them in my brassiere. And he didn't know.
Can I see them? She reached in and came out with a handful of red capsules. Freeland got an evidence envelope. Why don't you put them in here?
Okay.
Can I offer you a ride, ma'am?
Sure. tired of walking.
He handcuffed her gently as she slid into the back seat.
Bert and the other two resting, except they ain't gonna wake up. He killed their ass. Bang, bang, bang,
she mimed with her hand. Freeland froze. What's that?
He a white boy, but he killed their ass.
Holy shit. Where?
On the boat. Funny thing, he left all the drugs right there, too, the white boy did. Except, he was green.
Freeland didn't know what this was about, but he intended to find out. He pulled onto the highway and sped away, back to headquarters. So, what happened? Roger? They knew we were coming, Ritter said to Roger McKenzie, briefing him on the mission that went awry. He related the facts of the incident, being careful to change only one item. Our guy bagged the Russian who was talking to our people, he said smoothly, and the camp commander. We have them in Winchester, alive.
Sounds like a cool customer, McKenzie said.
Ritter nodded, then told him that the North Vietnamese were planning on wiping out the camp and its occupants. Their only hope now was the Russians, he said, and he'd begun secret negotiations.
Let me know how it turns out, McKenzie asked.
You bet. Thanks for letting me talk to you, Ryan said. What's this all about? Sam Rosen said. They were in his office, along with Sarah and Sandy and Tom Douglas. It's about your former patient, John Kelly, Ryan said, then stated that Kelly was a suspect in a string of murders, Doris Brown and others.
John didn't hurt her, Sandy said before she could stop herself.
Then you know who Doris Brown is, the detective said.
John and I have become friends, Sandy said. He's been out of the country for the past couple of weeks. He couldn't have killed anybody.
Damn, Ryan thought, then zeroed in on them. He knew, he said, that they'd helped Doris Brown, and their involvement might be bordering on complicity in the murders that Kelly was probably carrying out.
Tell me, Sam Rosen said carefully, how close are you to getting the people who killed Pam?
We know a few things, Ryan answered, without realizing he'd just blown it.
The problem was making sense out of what she said. Three people dead, bang, bang, bang.
Three dead people on a boat somewhere, Trooper Freeland repeated. Names and everything.
The captain looked up.
You like fish out there. What's it sound like to you, Ben?
Like around Bloodsworth Island.
Okay. Process, sir.
And then, sir?
Like helicopter rides?
We missed something, Em,
Douglas announced at 8:10 in the morning.
What was it this time? Ryan asked.
How they knew she was in Pittsburgh. I called that Sergeant Meyer. Had him check the phone in the house. Not a single outgoing call for the last month.
You have to assume that our friend Henry knew where she was from.
You're right, Ryan said after a second. He probably assumed she was dead. They ran over the case. Kelly was out of the country, and the three people who'd saved her certainly wouldn't tell anybody. The minister told his son, who called Frank Allen.
Frank? He's never been connected with any of the cases.
Well, I suppose you could call this progress, Em. Now we're sure.
There has to be a leak inside the department.
What other good news do we have?